Shocked that any of the folks that are singing today can sing after all the shouting in Vacation Bible School last week. What a great week God gave, and Pastor Dave will say more about that at the close of the service. But thank you to all of those of you that were here to work in it and to be a part of it. It was just a great week in the Lord, and we're so very grateful for what God did in our Vacation Bible School. There's just a lot of folks that are involved in working. And I want to take the time to say thank you to Pastor David and Sister Meredith for the brainchild of coming up with some of these things. I know what my limitations are. Well, sometimes. Sometimes when I don't, I pay for it. But it's good that God puts people around you that can go to places you can't go, right? Do things you can't do. And so we're thankful for Pastor David and Sister Meredith putting that together, and how so many people got involved. I mean, just so many people, and just fell right in and worked and helped, and the parents and the bus drivers brought the children, and it was just a supercharged week. Amen. It was great, and I enjoyed it immensely. We say it's for the children, and it truly is, but I get a sneak peek at some of the adults sometimes, and I tell you right now, they look like they're having just as much fun as the kids. Amen. It's contagious. It truly is. Well, we've been going through the book of Joshua on Sunday mornings, and I want to talk to you today about uncrossable rivers. I want to talk to you this morning about making a step that you've been needing to make. I give you a little background on what we're going to look at in chapter 3 and 4. I'm just going to highlight some things. But I've asked God to give me some truth that would help you, and I hope and pray that it will. I've tried to be obedient to the Lord and get what He would have for you this morning. It's important that we understand that God has a place for us, and it's a place of inheritance. It's a place of victory. I see so many people going through life as a victim and not a victor. As being overcome and not an overcomer, defeated and not victorious. And it's my prayer to God this morning that if you're here and you're in that category and you've just come up to the brink of Jordan and you look at those rivers of water as they're overflooding the banks, as we'll see in just a moment, I don't know what those rivers of water represent to you. Could be fear, could be dependency. Could be a habit, could be an attitude, could be jealousy, could be bitterness, could be strife, could be gossip. I don't know. I know that we are all prone to wonder. I know that each one of us has our battles to fight. I know that we're not all really in particular fighting the same battle. We all have weaknesses in our lives. We really don't like to talk about them, but we need to address them. We need to let God help us to overcome them. I know that the Bible is so. I know that what God has pinned down in the book of Joshua some hundreds of years ago, I know that it's just as relevant today as I stand before you as it was the day that Joshua pinned it down before the ink dried. I know that with all of my heart, I know that. Amen. And I know that God has something for us that He wants us to learn from this occasion in the life of the children of Israel. You'll recall that when God saved the people out of Egypt, that He brought them through the Red Sea, and they were in the wilderness, and they marched on through, and they came right up to the brink of Jordan, this river that is so notable in the lives and the history of this great nation, the history of Israel. It's a great river that's known worldwide. It's the place where Jesus went to be baptized. It's a place where John the Baptist baptized when he was in his earthly ministry here. It's a river that's still available to be viewed today that feeds into what we know as the Dead Sea. It's a very real place. It's a place where many momentous things have happened and been recorded in history. We have an occasion here where the children of Israel now have circled back around, and a whole new generation has come to this side of the Jordan, and they're faced with a decision again. No doubt they recalled when they were just young ones and their parents, the generation before them, had come this way. And Joshua said unto them, he said, you're in a place to where You may recall that you were here one time before, and I want you to notice what he said at the latter part of verse number 4. He said, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." He said, you know, you've gotten this far, but you've never gone beyond this. You knew that there was something on the other side. You knew that there was something that God had promised on the other side. And yet, because of decisions that were made, you went back, and now you've learned some things and God's worked, and now you're back here again to the cusp of making a very important decision. Now, I said all that to say this. I believe with all of my heart that there are people here today that need to hear what I'm getting ready to preach to you. I believe there's people watching by live stream and others that will join later on, and they will re-watch the live edition in a recorded fashion. I believe that there's people in their Christian experience that have come to a place where God said, I want to take you to another level in your faith. There are things in folks' lives that they know God has for me, and I'm not really sure what I'm going to have to do or how I'm going to go about getting what God has for me. If you'll listen carefully today, I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit to tell you from the Word of God what God has for you and how you can attain what God has for you. Now, I may not be specific, but in a general way, I want to say that God has victory. God has something for you. God has another level in your faith that He wants to take you to. You see, I fear that so many people have thought, well, this is all there is. See, that's why a lot of people have no joy in their life. That's why a lot of people have no drive in their life. They have no motivation in life. They have no purpose in life, because they feel as though I've gathered all that God has for me. What's the use to getting up tomorrow morning? I'll tell you why. Because God has something greater for you. God has something more for you. I'm so grateful to God that I know that as long as I have air in my lungs to breathe, as long as I can breathe my next breath and take my next breath, that I know that God surely has something more for me. And I want to encourage you today that God has something more for you too. You see, the God of heaven loves us. And we need to remember that the God of heaven has not left us to ourselves, and He will come to us where we are at the level of our need. You say, well, preacher, I'm not worthy that God would take me to the next level. If we were waiting on ourselves to become worthy to get anywhere with God, we'd never get anywhere with God. There's none of us worthy, but thank God, Jesus looked down in compassion and saw us in our unworthy state and said, I will take you to the next level. I have three things I want to call to your attention. First of all, I want you to think about this: anticipating Jordan. The second thing, navigating Jordan. And then the third thing, and this is where we'll spend a little bit of time, commemorating Jordan. Now, this is Father's Day, and I'm going to speak to everyone here, but in particular, toward the latter part of the message, I want to address you fathers. Men, God has called on us, and we bear a heavy burden. We bear a special responsibility that God has given us. We look around today, and we saw all that we see in our world, and if we're not careful, we'll begin to blame this and that and this and that, but what this country needs is what this world needs, and that is some good spirit-filled dads that will take this old black back book, the good book, the Word of God, and live by it and teach it, amen, practice it, do what it says. That's what we need. And I'm glad to report to you that by the grace of God, we can do it. And with the help of the Lord, we can get to that next level. Now, what is it that's in front of you? What is it that's in front of you? Let's look and see, first of all, anticipating Jordan. Look in verse number 1 of chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning. You know, it's just kind of hard for me to get past that. If I'm going to get anywhere with God, I'm going to have to spend some time with God. Now, I want you to notice in chapter number 5, notice if you would, in chapter number 6, I'm sorry, look at verse number 12 of chapter 6. I'm going to ask you to turn there in your Bible. Chapter 6, verse number 12 says, and Joshua rose early in the morning. Turn over to chapter 7 of Joshua and look at verse number 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning. Look at chapter number 8 in verse number 10. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, anticipating. Let's go back now to chapter 3. See, Joshua understood something. Before I get my day going, I need to get with God and get my marching orders. You say, well, preacher, what is early in the morning? Well, as early as you need to get up in order to spend time with God before you begin your day. Amen. Joshua anticipated, we're getting ready to go to a place where we've never been before. We're getting ready to encounter some things that we've never encountered before. I'm getting ready to lead a people to a place that we have only thought about. We've been close, but we've never made it there. And I'm going to need to get some marching orders from the God of heaven. Can I tell you, God will give you the marching orders. There's two things that I want us to consider as we think about anticipating Jordan. Number one, guidance. I'm here to report to you this morning, brethren, that God will guide us. The God of heaven will guide us. There's multitudes of people that are just wandering around aimlessly just wandering around, groping in darkness and misdirection. We need to get a hold of the God of heaven and let the God of heaven lead us. I want you to notice what Joshua said here to these people. And I'm just going to point out a few of these. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. I want you to notice the Ark of the Covenant. Verse number 3. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant. In verse number 3, it says, bearing it, which means the Ark of the Covenant. Verse number 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, which is referring to the Ark of the Covenant. And verse number 4 also says, in 2,000 cubits by measure, come not near unto it, which is a reference to the Ark of the Covenant. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. And they took up the, verse number 6, Ark of the Covenant. Look, if you would, in verse number 8, right in the middle, that bear the Ark of the Covenant. Look at verse number 10. Not in verse number 10, in verse number 11. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Look at verse number 13. Right in the middle of that verse says, that bear the Ark of the Lord. The latter part of verse number 14 says, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. Verse number 15, right in the middle of that verse says, bear the Ark. And then in verse number 17, it says, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant. Wow, the Ark of the Covenant must be important. It's just mentioned over and over again in chapter number 3. What is God teaching these people? If you'll notice, God is, and you'll read this sometime, you'll find where God said, I want the priest to go out before the people, and I want the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a box. And I don't say that irreverently. There's much detail to it. Within that box, there were three articles, the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that buddeth, and the golden pot of manna. And on top of that box was the mercy seat. In essence, what the Ark of the Covenant represented was the law of God in the covenant, in the side of the box, and the love of God, the mercy seat, on the top. And it's saying that God is a God of law, but God is also a God of love. And God will lawfully and lovingly lead us. And if you'll notice what it says here in verse number 3, look at the latter part of it. It says, when you take the Ark of the Covenant, you shall remove from your place. Look at the latter part of verse number 3, and go after it. You see that? Follow the representative of God. That's what the Ark was representing. Follow God. Follow God. Follow God. Follow God, follow God, follow God, over and over and over again. Now I want you to hold your place here, and I want to show you what I believe has limited so many Christians from getting into the place of victory, from getting into the place of being an overcomer. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs. Hold your place, we're coming back. Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs 14, we have a problem. It's a problem that I face. It's a problem that you face. It's a problem that every one of us face. You see, you're in church today because you need some help. You're in church today because you need some questions answered. You're in church today, but though you may not realize it, you have a great need in your life. And God has you here to answer some questions. Now, in Proverbs 14, if you'll look in verse number 14, there is a verse of scripture that really speaks volumes. Look in Proverbs 14, in verse number 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now, what is this saying? Well, in order to get a good interpretation, turn over to chapter 16 just for a moment. And look at verse 25. In Proverbs 16, in verse number 25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right. So what are we being taught here? You see, a lot of people miss victory not by doing the wrong thing, but by not doing the God thing. See, there's a way that people say, you know what, I just feel this is right. Doesn't matter how you feel. What saith the scriptures? Amen. What does God say? And see, that's what we're being taught here. Turn over to the book of, go back to Joshua, and then if you'll go to the next book, to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 21. Look there with me. This will be one of the last times we turn before I get back into the meat of the message. I want to show you what really is hindering folks today. See, a lot of people that's sitting on the sound of my voice, not bad people. Listen, those that are watching, I'm not indicting anyone. Who am I to indict anyone? But I'm saying what we've done is we've confused our way with God's way. And just because our way is not the wrong way, that doesn't mean it's God's way. See, there is a way that seemeth right. And the backslider is filled with all of his ways. See, we go through our days and we just do what we think is the right thing. But here Joshua told these people, he said, don't you move without following God. You wait on God's guidance. You get God's orders. You do what God said. Don't you do what you think. You do what God said. How many times have I gotten in trouble by not doing what God said to do? Notice if you would in Judges, are you there? In Judges chapter number 21, look at the last verse in verse number 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was wrong in his own eyes. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. See, you're in church today. You're here today, I believe, with all of my heart, because we want to do what's right, brethren. We want God's will for our life. And yet if we're not careful, we'll be following our own ways instead of God's ways. We'll think we've got this thing figured out and we don't need to know what God says. We'll get up in the morning, won't even read a verse of scripture and go about our day and start making decisions. Let me tell you now, that's going to cost you somewhere down the road. When we don't get our instructions from the Word of God, we're liable to be following the flesh and not the Spirit. And so if you'll read again with me, and we'll read it properly this time in Judges 21 and verse number 25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's not that he was bent on doing wrong. He just did that which he felt was right. Doesn't that describe the day in which we live? What I think is right, preacher. No, what God said is right. What I think is wrong. No, what God said is wrong. And so as we go back to Joshua, we find where God said, number one, he said, get some guidance. Joshua said, before you get ready to take that big step in your life, and as I said, it could be overcoming some things. It could be overcoming some sins of attitude. Some maybe sitting on the sound of my voice. Again, I don't know what's in your heart. You may have a terrible spirit, a foul spirit, an unkind spirit. I don't know. There may be gossip. You may be gossiping and slandering, and you may be jealous or envious or stirring strife. I don't know, but God knows. There may be something that you said, you know what, I'm tired of this. It's plagued me all of my life, and by the grace of God, I'm going to move on from it. I'm going to get victory over it with the help of God. I'm going to move away from this, and I'm going to do the right thing as God is my helper. Can I tell you, God will help you do it, but now you're going to have to follow God's way. And Joshua said here, he said, you've been this way. Listen, he said, You've been up to this point before. Notice, let's read verse 1 together, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. Joshua said, I want you to think about this, folks. Here we are again. We're getting ready to take some steps that we should have taken a long time ago. But you didn't, and it cost you. Now, perhaps there's some folks, and I don't know, under the sound of my voice, that God has spoken to you about some things, and you've said, no, I'm not going to do that, and it's cost you. And yet God has brought you back to the place again to where he says, okay, we're going to do this again. Right? Get God's guidance. Get God's guidance. The Ark of the Covenant was to go before. Notice what Joshua said about the Ark, if you would. Notice it now. Notice it. Look at verse number 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. Why? He said, I don't want you to come near it, that you may know, look at the latter part of verse 4, the way by which you must go. He said, for you have not passed this way heretofore. He said, you're going to need some special guidance from God in your life. Can I tell you, all of us need God's guidance in our life, and God will give us guidance in our lives. Now, I don't know where you are in your life, but I know this, the God of heaven knows, and he'll guide you through this step that you need to take in your life. What is that step? What is that step? Is it a step that you have come and you should have taken a long time ago and it's just been gnawing at you and you just know, I need to get this done. I need to get past this. God has been dealing with me. Maybe it's reading your Bible daily. I don't know. Maybe it's attending church faithfully. I don't know. Maybe it's tithing. I don't know. Maybe it's witnessing. Only you know. But I can tell you this. If God is dealing with you in your heart and you just feel like, preacher, I've come here and I've went to step over and there's just fear that's gripped my heart. I don't think I can do it. I've wanted to do it for so long. Notice what happened here in verse number 15. Look at it if you would with me. In chapter number 3, in verse number 15, it says, As they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water. Notice this next phrase here. For Jordan overfloweth all its banks at the time of harvest. Oh my. Not only were they at a place where it's about 10 feet deep and about 100 foot wide, now it's flooding. It's flooding. There's more fear. There's more apprehension. Isn't that the way that things work sometimes in life? You say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to witness to somebody. I'm going to get me some tracts, and I'm going to start witnessing to people and telling people about Jesus. I'm going to start sharing my faith with others. I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to begin to ask God for some things. I told the Sunday school class this morning, and we're all guilty of it. I think we have a bunch of Christians walking around saying, you know, I'm not seeing God doing miracles anymore. Are we asking for them? Did you ask God for a miracle today? Did you ask God for a miracle yesterday? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. The reason we may not be seeing miracles is God's people have quit asking for them. You see, you're looking at a preacher that believes in miracles. And I believe you believe in miracles. We need not to quit asking God to do the miraculous. Notice if you would in verse number 5, God told these people, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God is going to do the miraculous among you. God still does miracles. You say, preacher, that situation I'm facing, you didn't name it, but it's difficult. I'm struggling with something, and I'm having a hard time getting past it. Well, God wants to guide you to get to the next level in your Christian life. God wants to guide us to get to the next level in our faith. So there's guidance. Then number 2, I want you to write this down. There's reverence. Okay? Notice what he said in verse number 4. He said, I want you to have a space between you and it. I'm going to make a statement here, then I'm just going to move on. We have lost a sense of the holiness of God. I think most people view God as their buddy. I just want you to know God's not your buddy. Okay? We've become too common and cavalier with God and who God is. And while I'm glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners, Jesus is not my buddy. He's my Savior. Amen. And I just think that we're making a big mistake in our churches when we bring God down to man's level and we try to make God, you know, just some common place, some common practice. God is holy. And God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, you see. And we need to always keep a reverence before the Lord. So number one, the ark was to be out front so that they could get guidance, but it also to be separate to teach them. God's not your buddy now. By the way, while I'm here, let me say a word to the fathers and then we'll get on to our second point. I hear a lot of fathers today say, I want to be my child's best friend. Your child will have many friends. Your child doesn't need another friend. Your child needs a father. We get one father and many friends. I'm not saying that you don't want to build a relationship that could be friendly with your child, but you, listen, don't become cavalier. Don't become common. Don't become nonchalant with that relationship. You're the father. Say amen. Amen. You're the father. Well, I want my children to be my friends. Well, that's good, but you're the father first. Amen. And so I really fear that there's a lot of parents in our society that are more concerned about being a peer of their children than being a leader of their children. God wants you to lead your children. Be their father. You say, well, I can't be their father and their friend. Choose father every time because you're their only one. They'll have many friends. So that's not popular with me, preacher. Well, I don't take polls before I preach now. I know what this book teaches, and this book teaches that our sons and daughters need good, strong, fatherly leadership, and it's lacking today. You say, how do you know, preacher? Just look at the generation in which we live. There's no training. Zero. You go out into public and you see people, they know very little to anything about honor, respect, couth. Amen. Mannerism. They know very little about it. Why? It's not being taught. It's not being a training in the home these days. And Dad, that's on you and I. God help us to be good fathers. So number one, there was guidance. Number two, there was reverence. Now let's just look just for a moment at this navigating. So they were anticipating. And God said, Joshua said, I want you to tell the people in verse number 5 to sanctify themselves. I'm going to do a miracle in their midst. There's somebody here today, you need a miracle. Oh, I don't need no miracle, preacher. Oh, yes, you do. There's some folks here today that need God to do something strong in their lives. You're desperate. You're hiding it behind. Listen, you're hiding it behind that face. But deep down in your heart, there's something missing. There's something missing. I tell you, we live in a society that puts on a tough man exterior, don't we? We live in a society that thinks, you know, I won't break. I don't have a breaking point. We all have a breaking point. And God says here, he says, I want you to go to a place where you've never been. I want you to get victory in your life. I have a purpose for your life. I have a reason for you to get up each day. I have a plan for you. I have something for you to do. Have you found it? Do you know it? I pray that you have. What's keeping you from it? What's keeping you from it? What's keeping you from living the victorious Christian life? Navigating through that. Let's look at what he said. He said, this is what you're going to have to do. He said, you're going to have to go past that point. You're at the brink of the Jordan. And he said in verse number 14, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, which is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now what happened here? God said, this is what I want you to do. He gave the instructions. He said, now do it. Now, God's told you what to do. He's given the instructions, and he said, do it. Have you done it? See, this word ends for a lot of people. But they did what God said do. And you know what God did? A miracle. He parted the Jordan River, even in its flood stage. He parted it. So that when those priests stood there right in the middle of that riverbed, they stood on dry ground. You say, preacher, you don't believe that, do you? With all of my heart, I believe that. Listen, there's not one fiber in my being that doesn't believe what I just read to you. It's so. You ever get to doubting what God can do, you just need to go out and look up on a good starry night, and you'll see what the God of heaven can do. Brother Greg quoted it about the sun. You get to thinking about the sun. Sun been burning for at least thousands of years. We don't have to ship space shuttles up there to feed it gas. You know, been burning, brother. You listening? Keeping us warm. That's right, giving us light. Why? Because the God of heaven said, shine! And she's been shining ever since, amen. Amen. See, that's the power of God. That's the power of the God that wants to get involved in our lives personally and work some things out. So number one, God's brought you to a place, just like he brought them to a place, and he said, now I want you to act on this. Number two, they did act upon it, and God did what he said he was going to do, and he took them over. Now I want to give you this and a few truths, and I'll be done this morning. So what happened? They went over on dry ground. And Joshua, you read it in chapter 4. Look, if you would, in verse number. We'll read verse number 4. Then Joshua called the 12, chapter 4, verse 4. He called 12 men of whom prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And he said, this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when we passed over Jordan. I don't have time to go into great detail here. I want to give you some things I hope will help you now. So what are we going to do today? What are we going to do, preacher? We're not at the Jordan River. Well, maybe not physically. But there's some folks there, spiritually speaking, in your life. You're at a place where you've got some decisions to make. You've come up to a place and you're just at a standstill. And you're not going to be able to go any further. If you're not careful, what you'll end up doing is turning and going back into the wilderness. And there's a lot of suffering back there. You listening? There's a lot of hardship back there. There's a lot of tough lessons to learn when we disobey the direction of God. But God says, I want you to take that step by faith and I'll do a miracle. I'll do wonders in your sight to get you to the place to where you need to be. What is it in your life? What is it? I ask again. What is it? A dependency? Is that it? Defeat? Discouragement? Fear? So many things that keep people from serving the Lord. I pray that God would give victory today. And when those children went over, he said, I want you to take some stones, and he said, I want you to set them up. If you'll read carefully, you'll find where they set 12 up on the river bed and 12 up inside the river. What is that representative of? Notice again what he said in verse number 6. He said, this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? He said it again over in chapter number 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. He spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Dads, there ought to be some memorials in our lives. So, well, preacher, the Lord hasn't divided a river for me. The Lord hasn't dried up the Red Sea for me. Oh, he's done something greater than that if you're saved. God saved your soul. Amen. Are you sharing that with your children? When your children come to you and say, hey, Dad, why do we read the Bible every night? Because, son, I'm glad you asked that question. Because this book right here is like any other book. This is the Word of God. Do our children know that this is not just the Bible? This is the Word of God. Dads, are you teaching your children and your family? This is the perfect, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Everything in this book is so. God wrote it. This ought to be a memorial in our homes. We ought to be teaching our children that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. Dad, what is it when every seems like every Sunday morning we get up and go to church and then go back on Sunday night? What is it, Dad? I'll tell you what it is, son. Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday's not football day. Sunday's not family day. Sunday's not festival day. Sunday's not work day. Sunday's not friend day. Sunday is the Lord's day. See, that ought to be a memorial. And we need to be teaching our children this. And Sunday's not just the Lord's day from 10 to 12. Oh, no. Sunday's the Lord's day all day, every Sunday. Amen. Sunday is the Lord's day. We need to be teaching our children this. You see, we've got folks now that cut the grass on Sunday, work 18-hour shifts on Sunday. Why? We've lost our reverence for the Lord's day. I'll never apologize for preaching what this book says about the Lord's day. Sunday is the Lord's day. And you show me a nation that forgets the Lord's day, and I'll show you a nation that's on the brink of condemnation and judgment from a holy God. Sunday is the Lord's day. Well, what's so special about Sunday? It's the first day of the week, son. It's the time when Jesus came alive out of the grave. See, we need to be teaching this to our children. Who's going to teach them if we don't teach them? Dad. Dad, I noticed a few people got up there in that swimming pool. That's what kids, they got in a swimming pool. What's all that about? Oh, I'm glad you asked that, son. The Bible calls that baptism. That's a memorial. People get baptized when they accept Jesus as their personal Savior. That is the first step of obedience after you become a Christian. See, we need to be teaching these memorials. There needs to be things, there needs to be staples in our lives that we need to be teaching them. If your son can name all the baseball teams and all the players of a baseball team but can't name the books of the Bible, we might ought to get to teaching some things. Amen. Amen. I notice that sometimes when we go to church, Dad, they get those little cups out that's got the juice in it, and they put around a little piece of bread. What is that? That's called the Lord's Supper, son. See, when our children ask us, children have inquisitive minds, and Joshua knew that. He said, Dads, you need to get your family together and begin to teach them some memorials. Yes. Amen. Amen. We could go on and on and on, brethren. There's a lot in this book to teach. You know, I hear the church talking about the buses, Dad. The bus ministry. Vacation Bible School. What's that all about? Well, see, son, Jesus loves the little children. And our church loves the little children too, because Jesus has put the love of the little children in our hearts. Amen. And we're just doing what we would feel the Lord would have us to do. We have ministry that does what we feel like God would have us to do in bringing the little children so they can hear the Word of God and have their lives shaped and molded by God's Word. I go to church, Dad, and I see flags representing countries and nations all around the church. Dad, what's that about? Well, that's God's program to reach the world, son. You see, our church is blessed to be a part of world evangelism. We're not just concerned about us for it no more. We're just not concerned about Madison County and our neighbors. No, we're concerned about people around the world of all color and ethnic groups. Amen. Amen. See, God, His Son, He sent His Son because He loved the whole world, not just America. Amen. Amen. We need to be teaching these things to our kids. Oh, preacher, they'll learn it one day. They'll learn it when you teach it to them. If you don't teach them what's right, somebody's going to teach them what's wrong. If you don't teach them about morals and you don't teach them about principle, somebody's going to teach them to be amoral and have no principle. Memorials. I believe a lot of dads in our congregation have set some memorials and are teaching some things, and I thank God for that. Can I encourage you to continue to do that, Dad? Could I encourage you to continue to teach your sons and daughters, and your family? Because if you've already closed your Bible, I want you to go home and look at verse 24 if you hadn't. It's not just about the church. It's about the whole world. Oh, it starts at home. But verse 24 says that the whole world might know. But it starts at home, Dad. You never know. That young man that's asking you those questions, God may have already placed a calling in his heart to go to a different country with the same message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's being preached right here. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Preacher, I've got some things in my life. God's been dealing with me about it, and I've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. I think it's about time for me to step out into the water and watch God do wonders among me. And God make what I thought was an uncrossable river crossable. Years ago, there was a rock and roll band who wrote a song that everybody went crazy over, Bridge Over Troubled Water. See, that's the way the world looks at it. I don't need a bridge over troubled water. I have a God who will part it and allow me to go over on dry ground. You do too. You do too. We don't need the world to show us how to get to the other side. The world doesn't know how to get there. We have a book that tells us all about it right here. Bow your head with me, would you? What obstacles are standing in your way as you have come to the brink of the river? And Satan has said, oh, you can't do this. You better not. You better not get this bitterness. You'll have to say, I'm sorry to somebody. You better not get that anger out of your heart. You better not commit to read your Bible every day. You better not commit to get up early in the morning and start your day off with God. You better not make a commitment to do what is right. You'll never fulfill it. Oh, I'm here to tell you, if you'll let God guide, and you'll get God's guidance, reverence, God will do wonders among you. He'll do that that you can't do in and of yourself. And then as God begins to do things in our lives, it'll start to build memorials, and our children will begin to ask questions and say, Dad, I notice that we do this now instead of this. Why is that? And you'll have a great teaching opportunity to teach them a spiritual principle in your home. And on this Father's Day, can I say that that's one of the greatest needs of our country and our world? That fathers would begin to teach the Word of God in our homes again. God help me. And God help you, Dad. God help us. Wonder as we close our service, is there someone here that would say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior. And today, God has made that very clear in my heart. Whether you've been coming to church here regularly or today is your first time, I don't know. Going to church doesn't get you to heaven. It's a good thing to do, a Bible-believing church. But going to church doesn't get you to heaven. So if you've been coming here for years, that's no guarantee you're going to heaven. Is there anyone here say, "Preacher, God showed me I was lost. I need to be saved, and I want you to pray for me today. I need to be saved." Anyone like that?